We want to start this morning just making some comments about the word law. The law is very important. Back under the old law or the Old Testament, there were specific laws, and the children of Israel feared to not obey the laws most of the time, but it was very much a part of their lives, the laws of God. A lot of people like to say that living for the Lord is not a bunch of rules of do's and don'ts. And that thought and that philosophy sort of took hold a number of years ago, even among us. And I even sort of reasoned that out and thought the same. But one day the Lord spoke to me and he said, "My word is a bunch of do's and don'ts." And when I began looking into the word of the Lord, I found there are a lot of laws. And as we were doing our little Sunday school lesson this morning, what would we do without the laws, the rules to awaken us to our humanity and our needs? And that's what it's all about. So God uses his word to teach you and me something about living for him and pleasing him. And his word tells us how to live. And it's his laws. I'm thinking about the laws of our land. They were actually originally considered and written based on the word of God. The influence of God's word influenced the men to set up our laws.
Yes, amen.
I mean, originally, that's what it was for. So the definition for a law is a rule that determines moral and religious actions as to right and wrong. So I'm thankful for the laws of God today. Without it, where would we be? We would be disjointed, and we would not have direction or order. We would be heathens without the laws of God. So I thank the Lord this morning. And when I think of the laws of our society and how they are based on the principles of God's word, what's their purpose? Their purpose is to restrain our actions in the way that we treat our fellow man. So God's law and man's law, they do come together. And the word of God says that you and I are to obey the laws of the land. So there is a commandment there, and that's a law. There are also laws of God that says, if we do obey, how we will be blessed. Do you believe that?
Yes.
There are things that the Lord says, you do this and you'll be blessed. You don't do this and you'll be cursed. So I'm thinking as we obey the laws of the land that if we will obey or restrain our actions, what would be the benefit? Well, I probably won't pay a fine. I won't get a ticket if I obey. I will not go to jail. So that's a blessing. And I won't be in trouble as lawbreakers are. So how important is it for us to obey the laws of the land? I believe it's very important. The word of the Lord says that the law is made for the lawless. It's made for those to know that they have broken a law and then pay the penalty of having broken the law. And it's the same with God. Disobedience. The laws are made for those that are disobedient. It is made for ungodly, unholy, profane, sinners. It shows us where we are when we read the law and we find we're falling short. Then we find we have to do something to be reconciled to God because we have broken His law. So I appreciate the laws of God, don't you? So there are many of God's laws that says, thou shalt not. We know the Ten Commandments. It says, thou shalt not do this, and thou shalt not do that. Isn't that saying the do's and the don'ts? What we're to do. And then there are laws that says, thou shalt, and you can put whatever you want in, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's a law. And so that is what we are to do. So there are things we are not to do, and there are things that we are not to do. What the law does, it sets boundaries for you and me. And without boundaries, again, where would we be? We would be at loose ends. I would not know how to behave myself. I would not know how to live with my fellow man. I wouldn't even know how to live with my family if God had not set boundaries in His Word to teach us or enlighten us and to reveal His will. So it gives you and me understanding of what is required. Are there requirements for us to make heaven? Absolutely. There are requirements. We're just not in this world. We're not living on an island by ourselves. We're living with one another. We're living with our communities. We're living with our families. And God has made some requirements for us, and it is His law. So these laws are to help us and govern us, and there are laws that if they are transgressed according to His word, they bring death. But there are laws, if followed, gives life. And I thank the Lord for that. And I'm going to give you an example of one of God's laws that brings happiness and joy. And it was Jesus speaking, showing His example of washing the disciples' feet. Is that a commandment? It's a commandment for not for all, but for His people. And so He said, what He said was, ye ought, what I have done to you, ye ought to do to your brethren. And this word ought tells us that it's our duty and it's our obligation. And it's the right thing to do. So if we're following the Lord, we do those things that He says you ought to do, you should do. Those are equal to His laws. But Jesus said, I've given you an example. Ye should do as I have done to you. So we learn how to live in His body. In His kingdom, we learn how. And then He said, happy are ye if you do this. So there's things that we ought to do and should do, and it may not be listed among the 10 commandments per se, but He says, if you do these things, you're going to be happy. So much of the laws of God, or the commandments, even of the New Testament, may not be called a commandment, but it's there teaching us something about us and what we should do to please God and to follow Him and to receive His blessings. So I want to turn to Romans, the second chapter, and read verses 13 through 15. And it says here, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers. They shall be justified, it says. It says, when the Gentiles have not the law, but they do by nature the things contained in the law. You know, there are people out there that are ignorant of what we call the truth. And yet they have some kind of conviction and they obey it. And yet they haven't been taught it. That's what this is talking about. The Gentiles, they didn't have the law. But yet they obeyed those things that were contained in the law. And then verse 15, and which shew the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness. See, there could be people that have been taught right from wrong morally without the biblical principles behind it. And maybe later they learn what the biblical principle is and they say, oh, that's why I was taught to do this. There's a reason. So there are reasons why God puts what he does in the Bible. He didn't just fill up these pages just so you and I would have something to read. He says, study to show yourselves approved unto God. And a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So the study of God's word and the understanding of his laws, of his rules, of do's and don'ts and why are beneficial to us. They will make us happy. If we follow the ways of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord rests upon obedience to his word. So then we go from there, we'll go to James, the first chapter. We're going to read 22 to 25. It's a similar passage. It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You'll deceive yourself if you're only a hearer and you're not a doer, not being obedient. Verse 23, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, he goeth his way, he forgetteth what manner of man he was. And then verse 25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. Oh, we need the word of the Lord. You know, the word of the Lord came to you and me, to our generation, at a price. That there were people that gave their lives, literally, for the word of God. During the times of the martyrs, there were people that loved the Lord and loved his word and was willing to give their life for it. And you and I are not, we're not striving unto death or to blood now. We have it so freely. And now it's up to us what we do with it. So we want to be a hearer of the law. I'm going to call the word the law. Because it's nothing more than the doctrine of God. It's the word of God. It teaches us how to go to heaven. But it also tells us how we will not be blessed. It will teach us how we'll go to hell. It's all in here. So we look into the perfect law of liberty and we continue therein. And he being not a forgetful hearer, I want to tell you the enemy is here right now. He is sitting in this chapel right now. Because he wants to snatch away the word from what you're hearing. And it is the one thing. I'm thankful we have recorders. You can go back and listen to it if you forget it. But I would say most of us, Lauren goes home and he keeps a little diary. I'm telling on him a little bit, but it's probably common to all of us. So tonight he'll probably say, what did you preach on this morning? It is so easy to let it slip, to not retain it. And I may be the one speaking it, and even then I'll have to say, well, let me think. The enemy is here trying to snatch the word of the Lord from you and hinder you. And yet we have a promise of the Holy Spirit that when you need it, he'll bring it back to your mind. Thank the Lord. Has the Lord done that for you? I've heard testimonies here on Wednesday night of different ones of you saying, well, I listened to a message years ago and I remember. That's the Spirit of the Lord that is bringing the Word of God back to your mind. Thank the Lord. Just like what was given to us here. It was something that happened years ago, but something resonated and brought to his mind, and he shared it with us. See? So this is saying, don't be a forgetful hearer. You know, I really think that we need to discipline ourselves a little bit more to remember what we've heard. We need, I know Sister Rosa got something from last week's message and she couldn't remember where it was. And she texted me and she said, where was this scripture, you know? If we can remember just even a portion of it, we can find where it was. Yeah. We're going to have to discipline ourselves and draw our minds in from all of the pressures of life and the cares of life. It's like the Sunday school lessons we're going through right now. That which will choke the word will be those cares of life, those things that are plaguing our minds of what I'm going to have to do tomorrow or what I did yesterday. So don't be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. And it says, Here's what I want to give you. This man shall be blessed in his deeds. I want you to hold on to that part. I want you to remember that there is a blessing in being a doer of the work or the word, an obeyer, obedient to the word of God. So that is our little foundation this morning. This message is not totally on that. But I read something several months ago, a phrase, and it would not leave my mind. And I have been saying, Lord, I've been asking the Lord, how does this work? And that phrase was this, to have courage to be kind. And I have meditated on that and thought about that. And now the Lord has opened it up to me. Mm-hmm. You and I, does it take courage to be kind? You will answer that by the end of the message. It does take courage because we're in a time where people are not kind and things are happening to us that puts us in a temptation to be unkind in return. We've been treated unkindly. Isn't there a temptation to either isolate yourself from that person or to respond in the same way? It's a temptation. Amen. So God wants to give us courage now from this day forward to be kind. And I'm going to the scripture that may have come to your mind. The title of this message now is The Law of Kindness. It's a law. And I want us to think of it as a law that promotes, a law that works, a law that is we can obey. We can apply it to our life. Just as when the word says obey the laws of the land, I don't go out and purposely disobey it. I don't go and break that law, no matter how tempted I am. Now I'm going to insert here because some people really get under a spirit of accusation if you speed. And there are times that I speed out of necessity. But you know what I've said to myself? Yes, I'm needing to be in a hurry. And if I get stopped, I will deserve it. Be willing to pay your fine because you've broken the law. See, you've heard me tell one time I was in a great hurry and I was the only car on the road. And I came to a stop sign and I looked everywhere. I was the only car and I ran the stop sign because I was in such a hurry. And I look up and the police has got his lights on and I know I'm caught. Now this is what I'm saying. If you have to break the law of speeding, be willing to pay the fine. That's just how it is. So I pull over and I get my license out before he ever stops. I'm still in a hurry. And he comes up to the lady, to the car, and he says, "Lady, do you know everything you did wrong?" I said, "I know everything I did wrong, and I'm still in a hurry." And he said, "Well, if you know everything you did wrong, then I'll only give you a warning." Well, I escaped that, but I deserved a ticket. So when we obey the laws of the land, be willing to pay the fines when you know you're guilty, okay? But when it comes to the word of the Lord, we've also got to be willing to pay the fine if we disobey his word. Do you see a connection here? We are to obey the word of God. Yes, obey the laws of the land, but God's word is above the laws of the land even. And maybe we will be fined. Maybe we will have to pay a price. Maybe we will have to do some reaping. Because what does the word of the Lord say? What you sow, you shall reap. And be willing to reap it. And don't bemoan it. Maybe you ask the Lord to spare you from reaping it, but if you have sown it, be willing to reap it with grace. Seek the Lord for the power of his grace in your reaping of your sowing. It's just as simple as that. And sowing and reaping is a lot of what we're about to tell you. So this is going to be about the law of kindness. And that particular little passage was from Proverbs 31 and verse 26. You know what chapter 31 of Proverbs. It was about a virtuous woman. And it said that she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And then I put out to the side, it was the law of kindness working. The law of kindness has to work in our life for it to work, for it to produce the right seed. Because there's going to be, if we are not producing or giving or obeying the law of kindness, unkindness will be the reaping. If we are sowing seeds of unkindness, unkindness will come back to us. So that's where our title of our thoughts comes from. And so kindness is taught from beginning to end in the Word of God. It is the very attribute of God. His Word says, "Be ye holy as I am holy." Is that a commandment? Is that a rule? It should be. We have to follow His example. Well, it's the same. You could change the word because God is kind. It says that He, and I may read this fully, that full scripture, but it says He is kind to the unthankful and to the unholy. And you and I have been unthankful before, and we have been unholy, and He was still kind to us. So we could change that scripture and not do damage to it. When it says, "Be ye holy as I am holy," we could say, He could say, "You be kind because I am kind. I've been kind to you. I've shown kindness to you. So you go and show kindness to others." This word kindness, you know I love definitions, and it says it is wanting and liking to do good and bring happiness to others. It's more than that though, but that's one of the definitions. Do you want to be kind? Do you like to be kind? Oh, I want to tell you, cultivate the want to. Cultivate the like to. I like to treat others good. I like to be kind. There's a great reward. When you and I sow seeds of kindness, I believe we will receive kindness. I believe it. I believe God will, if others are not kind to us, that God will repay us with His kindness. Thank the Lord. The kindness also means gentleness and goodness of heart. If we find ourselves not being as gentle as we should, what do we do about it? Do we say, "Well, I was just born that way. I can't help it. My parents were not very gentle." Not everybody is gentle by nature. You're not born gentle. There could be certain families that have the traits of being gentle, openly gentle, and that's a great attribute. But gentleness is cultivated also by the help and grace of God, by seeking after that grace and that power for God to come down and change me to be more gentle. I'm thinking, we've been reading over in Samuel, Lauren and I have, reading the book of 1 Samuel, and I love the part where Saul was called to be the king over Israel. And what did it say when he was called? He was changed into a new man. You and I can only be changed into a new person, different from what we once were. If we battled temper, you're not going to get rid of the temper by gritting your teeth, biting your tongue. There's a greater blessing than that. Oh, it's much better not to spew the words out, but if you've got them in your heart and your mind, you're going to battle that thing. The enemy will take advantage of you in that way. But oh, go to the one that can help you. Lord, deliver me from the very spirit that doesn't allow me to be gentle and kind and loving. And it says, one of the definitions says, dedicated to the welfare of others. I want to tell you, you know what that means? That means that you're not selfish. There's a lot of selfish people in this world. They think of themselves only. They think of themselves first. They do not put others first. To be kind, we'll be putting others first. We'll have pity and compassion and love and mercy. And this kindness should be the very nature of our walk with the Lord. It should be the very thing that influences our daily life. Being kind to one another, being gentle and compassionate and showing goodwill. Expressing kindness to others is more important than what? Many times we get to thinking of the sacrifices that we make as being ultimately important. Oh, I'm living for the Lord. I'm giving up this and I'm giving up that, and I don't do this and I don't do that, and then we're not kind. But kindness is more important than all the sacrifices that you and I can make. Because our sacrifices will come. But we need the Lord to help us to be kind and compassionate and loving to others. And we're going to have some little words here we want to give you in a little bit. But a scripture that supports that, and there's more than one, but there's only time for one, and it's Hosea 6:6. He said, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. That's an Old Testament scripture, and that's what the Lord desired then, and I believe he still desires it. He desires us to be obedient and to obey it when he says, I want you to be kind to others. I want you to love others. I want you to put them above yourself. And the scriptures says for us to do that. So it's part of it. More than the burnt offerings, I look for obedience. So we are to Micah 6:8. I'll have to turn and read that one. I didn't write that one down. But he hath shewed thee, O man, what is good. I want to read it all because it is such a good passage. I'm going to read verse 7 first. It says, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Or shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, or the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And then it says, he hath shewed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy. When you and I are kind to others, we are loving mercy. We're showing mercy. God is merciful. He has been merciful to you and me. Let us turn around and be merciful to others, and let us be kind and walk humbly with thy God. Thank the Lord. So the deeds of kindness, and as we started out, we spoke of the law of kindness was in her tongue. So it's words. Kindness is also demonstrated by actions, but a lot of it is through our tongue, our words. And we all know what the word of the Lord says about the tongue. Because in the power of my words can be life or death. I can lift someone with the power of my words, or I can crush them with just my tongue. So we all have to watch our tongue, and we have to watch that our tongue is giving out the law of kindness. So kind words possibly could supersede kind deeds. And yet kind deeds must not be undone. We must follow both, but let's consider now the words and what they provoke. The scripture says, it says it to the fathers, but I believe it's for the mothers too. Provoke not your children to wrath. So the words that I say is going to be provoking somebody else. It can provoke them to anger and resentment. And what happens then, it begins to build up bitterness and unforgiveness in that family member or in the man at work or wherever I have given out that those words that were unkind can provoke to even vengeance or be taking revenge. After a while, it can build up until I want to take vengeance. But the second thing it can provoke, and this is a scripture too, it says provoke to love and good works. You know, I've told this before. I will tell it till I die. But we had a child that was difficult to correct. And I felt like I had done all I knew to do. I was by myself late one night. Everyone was in bed asleep and grieving and crying out to the Lord that I had been such a failure. I felt like a failure as a mother. And the Lord opened the word of the Lord, and these words stood out to me. Provoke to love and good works. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, do you know how to provoke her to anger? Learn how to provoke her to love and good works. Now I believe the Lord is wanting and calling for us to provoke one another to love and good works. Influence each other that way. But I want to tell you, in our families, we need to learn how to provoke our children to love, to provoke our children to good works. And I believe it's all under this law of kindness. So that's what we can provoke to. The tongue can be used, and this is the word of the Lord. Said it shouldn't ever happen, but it does. But with the tongue, men bless God. And then it says, or we curse men. Well, maybe we don't use the word curse. Maybe we don't use a curse word. But the words become like a curse. And the word of the Lord says, brethren, this should not be. Don't let this happen. Oh, we must seek the Lord. The Lord is able to deliver us and help us that we can provoke to love and good works. I'm going to speak to you now just about a few things before we close. I think it's extremely important that we start this in our homes. Oh, maybe it's real easy. I've heard, been in homes before where there wasn't exactly the law of kindness, and the tone of their voice would be so sharp and unkind to their family. And the phone would ring. You ever been in a situation like that? And they answer with a totally different tone of voice to whomever is on the phone. But the tone for the family was another tone. Oh, I'm going to say that it's the same as what he said, brethren, This thing should not be. Don't talk better to the people out there than what you talk to your family. Oh, the Lord has more grace than that. He wants us to be kind and loving and compassionate and provoking to good things in our homes with our children. Oh, there's a way that it can be done, and we will win them for the Lord. I believe that. And I'm telling you, I need the message too. I don't think there's probably anyone here that doesn't need the message. We just need to be reminded of it. And so I want to give you some words and consider them that impact our homes, our family, our companions, our children. And I could have given a whole lot more, but I'm just going to give you a few. I think it'll stir our minds up. That was a stupid thing to do. I mean, these are words that people have said to their companion if they did something that they thought was stupid. Well, that was a stupid thing to do. What does that do? That puts them down. The enemy takes advantage of that. It can cause a broken spirit. It can cause a wounded heart. Whether it's a spouse or whether it's a child, don't say those words. Those are unkind words. Why can't you do anything right? Sometimes maybe these have been our words. But we can do better than that. The Lord can help us to do better than that. You are always doing, and you could put anything on the end of that. You're always doing that, and it's something that irritates you. How can you be so? And put whatever you want to put in there because it fits the situation. But unkind words will produce unkind responses. It will produce unkind thoughts in the person spoken to. So again, when the word says, be holy as I am holy, he could also say, be kind because I am kind. I've been kind to you. We have a scripture now. Oh, there's many scriptures that can be given about being kind. But we're going to give Colossians 3:12, and it says, put on. This is something that you and I have to put on. We have to take hold of. We have to practice. We have to seek the Lord. We have to discipline ourselves. There is a portion of this that is up to us. There is a portion. Yes, I believe in the grace of God and the power of God to help us and deliver us. But it takes me being willing. It takes me being denying me. So he says, you put this on as the elect of God. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. That's a lot to put on. We have to seek after it. And then it says, if any have a quarrel against, I'm going to just say any, even as Christ forgave you, you forgive them. That's the very law of kindness. And our final scripture then is in Luke, the 6th chapter. And we're going to read verses 31 31 to 33, and then we're going to skip down to 35 to 38. So this is in closing. And it says, but I say unto you, which hear and be hearers of the word, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Is that the law? It's part of the law of kindness and how for us to be kind. And then skipping down to 31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them. For if ye love them which love you, what think have ye? For sinners also love them that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what think have ye? For sinners also do even the same. Verse 35. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward. We just spoke a scripture that said that this man would be blessed in his deeds. This is the blessing of having kindness. And the reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful or kind, as your Father also is merciful or kind. And then it says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged, and condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. And that is the law of sowing and reaping. You sow the seeds, you're going to reap it bountifully, good or bad. And it says, give, and it shall be given unto you. I think we can take this and say, give kindness. Give to others that will build them up and not tear them down. Give the words of kindness, and it shall be given to you. Good measure. I like this. Pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. That's our little thought this morning. And I believe that the Lord is fully able to help his people have this kind of power and grace, be able to sow these good seeds and reap it bountifully. And I believe that the Lord can help us in this age. We are in an age of unkindness. That's why we still want to warn the people, don't get caught up in the political spirit of this world. It's unkind. There's nothing beautiful about it, because people are being mean and ugly with their words. It goes over the airwaves. Don't let that affect your spirit. Don't get caught up in the political system. Yes, we pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. That's what we're commanded to do. And yes, we want to be informed, but don't let it affect your spirit. Lord, help us all. Pray for me.